Well, good morning, church. It's wonderful to be able to start the year off in bringing what I believe is a message of hope, a message of encouragement, and I hope that this message that I believe God has for us today will inspire us, because we need inspiring. You know, if I have a title for my message this morning, I'm a great fan of films, and I don't know if anybody remembers that film, The Good, The Bad and The Ugly. You know, and that tune, how did it go? That's it. An amazing tune. But you know, as Christians, we go through the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you know, it's a journey. You and I are on a journey, just as Paul the Apostle was on a journey. Do you know, one moment with God can change your life and can change mine. And we can see that in Paul's life. Paul was changed in a moment. He was on a road, a dusty old road. And he was taking a load of prisoners. Yeah, he was taking a load of prisoners to be persecuted, some to be put to death. But God spoke to him. Paul had his plans, but God's plans succeeded. So no matter what your and my plans are, the most important plans, obviously, are what God's plans are. And I really do believe that this letter that Paul is writing, particularly in chapter 3, but also you've got to take, please go ahead and read the four chapters of Philippians in your time next week. It brings it all into context. I really do believe that Paul is saying to this church at Philippi that God has a plan for your life. That God has established you as a light in darkness. And this church in Philippi that was situated in the northeastern part of Greece was a Roman colony. It was a very secular colony. And the thing is that there weren't many Christians there. In fact, there might have been an handful. They were Romans. And so Paul He's become a Christian. His life has been transformed. And he has a vision to preach the gospel wherever God sends him. So important. Wherever God sends him. God has called you and me, and he sent us. He sent us out to share the gospel. I've said it before. I often remind people, just as Paul is saying in that first chapter, I don't need to remind you of these things. Paul continues to remind people of things. And you know, I want to remind you, as God reminds me, that God has a plan for your life. And it's a beautiful plan. It's an amazing plan. Yes, it's challenging. Of course it is. But being a Christian is challenging. We all had experiences of 2024. Challenging experiences. But you know, you've come through. You sat here today. Amen. You made it. Give yourselves a round of applause. Another year. And I'm sure that those times were tough. But I'm also sure you had good times. You spent times with family. You spent time with friends. You shared the gospel. You lived out the gospel. You know, the gospel, yes, is for preaching, but it's also for living out. How do you live? How do I live? You know, Paul reminds this church, and by the way, as Paul gets this vision to go to Macedonia, to go to Philippi, Paul had other plans. Paul wanted to preach the gospel in places like Asia Minor and other places. But all of a sudden, he has this vision of this man crying out for help. Come to us. A Macedonian man. Come to us. And see how God changes his direction. And often we have our plans. But you see how God interrupts Paul's plans. In fact, he actually stopped Paul in his tracks on a number of occasions in order to get his attention. You know, you individually or even as a church, you might have had plans, but they've not come to pass. And maybe, you know, maybe you've got to ask yourself, well, are they God's plans? And how can we be sure that we are walking in what God wants for us? Well, the first thing is that you will see fruit. I will see fruit. Fruit that's lasting. Fruit that brings life, fruit that brings encouragement, fruit that establishes the kingdom of God in people's lives, in communities. You know, this Philippi was obviously a dark area. It was a rich area. Yeah, it was famous for its gold mines. It was famous for its amphitheatre and its minerals. It was an economy. It was a thriving place, but it was a dark place. You know? Someone once said, I mean, I don't know if you watched it the other night, but Luke Littler. Anybody know Luke Littler? The darts player. I'm a bit of a darts fan. And the thing is, Luke Littler is a 17-year-old kid and he's just won the world championship of darts. He's become the world champion at 17. £500,000 is made for life. But you know, as he picked up the trophy and he raised it, a thought came into my heart. What use is it if man gains the whole world but yet loses his soul? Riches can be used for God's glory. Of course it can. But they can't be worshipped. They can't be our main goal in life. Paul's main goal was to preach the gospel, to establish churches, to bring the word of God into churches. And so Paul, he arrives in Philippi. He's obedient to what God wants. And he arrives in Philippi with Timothy. And they head down to this quiet riverside area just outside the town. Notice the first thing that Paul and Silas wanted to do was they wanted to pray. They didn't go straight into the city. They wanted to pray. And so as they get into this quiet area, they meet some people. They meet some women. One of these women is Lydia. And she's a merchant. She's a wealthy merchant. And she gets born again. She sees. She hears and she accepts the the gospel. So wealthy people can, I know it says the eye of a needle, and it's more easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, but not for Lydia. So how is that? It's because the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit does a work on someone's heart, let me tell you, nothing will stop them from coming to know the Lord, however rich or poor they are. George Foreman, the famous boxer, had mansions, money, millions of pounds. He had everything that the world could offer him, that pleasure could offer him. But one day he got on his knees and he said, Lord, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. I repent. Come into my life. Anybody seen the George Foreman film on Netflix? Have a look at it. It's a great film. Obviously, Hollywood have added its little bit, but the essence of it is there, that Jesus saves and that Jesus brings life, life to the full. Do you know, God is an amazing God. Yes, he gives us gifts so that we can use them, but he gives his gifts so that we can use them for his glory. God comes first. And we can see this in Paul's life as he reminds this church at Philippi that he had everything in life at one time. He had it all. He had the credentials. He had the accomplishments. He had the reputation. He had it all. He was a strict Pharisee. He was righteous. He was taught by Gamaliel. He was a Benjamite. He had everything. But he realized that he had nothing when God spoke to him. When God speaks to us one moment, wow, we'll never be the same again. But you know, this church that he started in Philippi, he had a real compassion for. You know, he just wasn't there to, you know, to preach to God. He had a love for this church. And this church had a love for Paul. They supported him, both practically and financially. They helped him. And because they did that, they received the fruit of Paul's labour. Do you know, it's like wherever we plant seeds, you and I are part of the fruit that comes from that ministry. You know, we've planted seeds all around this country. We've planted seeds abroad. Even planted seeds in South Korea. I mean, you know, we are part of a rich inheritance. You are part of a rich inheritance. This area, Liz Vane, whenever I was looking at On Right Move, yeah, and I was looking, I was thinking, oh, but what's it like down there? How much are the houses down there? And I was startled. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? Dear me. But the thing is this. These people who live in this area need Jesus. There are Lydias around this area who need Jesus. And as you look around this area, as you're looking into Liz Vane, you can see opportunities. There's opportunity. I'm just sharing with Alex. I was passing this pub on the left-hand side as you drive up into this village. And I felt it. I hope it was the Lord. I don't know. But I just had this thought that there should be an Alpha course going on in that pub. You know? There's a potential for an Alpha Court. You see, that's just driving into village. Paul encouraged the Philippines to take every opportunity. And that's what you and I have to do. We've got to forget the past. Yes, it's been good. Of course it has. It's been tough. But we're now going on into the new. What's the next chapter for this church? What's the next chapter for you as individuals? God has not finished with you yet. You know? God has not finished with you yet. He's not finished with me yet. I went through a serious illness in 2020, as you know. I was diagnosed with cancer. But in a vision, just like Paul had a vision, I had a vision. Jesus took me on a walk. And basically, as Jesus took me on this walk and began to show me things and talk to me, and as we went back, I said, the Lord said to me, Peter, it's now time to go back. And I said, oh, Lord, I don't want to go back. But the Lord said, God has not finished with you yet. And as soon as he said that, I woke up in hospital. I woke up probably about 4:30 in the morning. And before I went into this vision, I was quite down. I'll be honest. I was quite down. Quite depressed. Very tearful. But when I came out of this vision, I was alive for Jesus because God had spoken to me. Hallelujah. I was rejoicing. So much so that I woke everybody up in the ward. And just to prove that point, a guy rang me up and about 3 or 4 weeks after I got out of hospital and said, Peter, I just want to thank you. I said, what for? He said, I heard you praising God in the ward. I was 4 beds up from you. I was going down for a brain tumour operation. The next day, he said, let me tell you, boy, was I encouraged by what you shared. You see, it's all about sharing. Paul was a sharer, you know. And just to say that this letter that Paul is writing, yeah, Paul is writing to this church. He wasn't writing it from a nice beach with the sun shining. He wasn't writing it from a nice place. He was writing it from a prison. He was encouraging people. Forget the former things. Go on to the new things. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in him always. Do you know, there's one thing that I believe that Paul was experiencing, and that was God's test. A godly test. Do you want to get me a drink of water? Drink of water, Alec? You got some? Paul was being tested. How would he and Silas respond in the bad times? How would they respond? Would they crumble? Would they give in? Would they give up? Or would they rise up? Would they rejoice? And so Paul writes this letter, which clearly shows that he's passing this test. This test of endurance. This test of perseverance. Now, we had some great times, some good things in 2024, but we also had some challenging things going on in our life. Let's be honest. I did. And I know you did. Because we live in a world that's full of challenges, family issues, employment issues, financial issues, social issues, personal issues. And the thing for me is, the thing for me is this, that in all those things for you and I to become mature, that Paul is encouraging this church to become, to be unified and to become mature in Christ, is you and I have to endure whatever you and I are going through. Do you know, God spoke to me a few months ago and he said to me, Peter, endurance is the key. Endurance. Perseverance is the key to maturity. You'll either get through it and you'll pass through it where whatever you're going through will drop off, or you'll remain in it and continue to struggle with whatever it is that you and I are enduring with. It's not easy. The Christian life is not easier. But it's worth it. One day you and I are going to have brand new bodies, praise God. Brand new. You know, I've got partially amputated feet, fingers left gone, scarred all over my body. One day I'm going to have a brand new body. And I don't want it yet, because I believe God has not finished with me yet. I don't want it yet, but the day is coming. The day is coming when I will have a brand new body. And so will you. These ailments that we have now are temporary. This tent that we have now is temporary. We are going to shine like the stars. We're going to spend eternity with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, a few weeks ago, a friend of mine was promoted into glory. Yes, promoted. Because he's now with his Lord. He's now with Jesus. His Saviour. His King. And he has got a brand new body. So you and I have this hope. You know, they talk about in the Bible, we've got this hope in this like glass jar. You know, what a hope you and I have. It's incredible. But you've got to keep on enduring. Paul endured. He endured the torment, the beatings. He endured the threats on his life. He endured the persecution. And you know, eventually Paul was beheaded in Rome. He even endured death. But you know, Jesus endured as well. Jesus endured Gethsemane. For you and for me. Jesus could have commanded the angels to come down and rescue him, but he refused to use his power. He refused to abuse it. All he wanted was the will of God. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus endured. My Bible says that I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. So whatever it is that you know that you're going to experience in 2025, be that good, bad or ugly, you can endure it. You can persevere because you've got this hope. You've got this treasure living in your heart. And that hope is Jesus. Do you know, Paul and Silas, they were amazing church planters. You know, God used them mightily. And God is going to use this church mightily. You might think, well, we're just a small bunch of people. Yes, you are. You're ordinary people, but you have an extraordinary God. Extraordinary. Who can blow your mind in an instant in this village or surrounding areas of Lydford. You know, lots of people are praying for revival. Look at the world. The world's a mess. People can't depend on their wealth these days. People can't depend on relationships these days. People can't depend on worldly pleasures these days. People are looking. I believe people are looking. I believe that the gospel, we have the opportunity more so now to share the gospel where people will listen than, say, a decade ago in the boom days. I believe people are more open today. And so let me encourage you, as Paul encourage the church to keep going, to be steadfast. To be steadfast in gratitude. To be steadfast in supporting in whatever way that might be. To keep on rejoicing despite your circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let me encourage you to keep promoting unity and reconciliation within the church. Yes, we'll all think differently. Of course we will. But let us seek God's will. What does God want? Not what we want. What does God want? And that will distinguish all the arguments amongst us. Let us be strengthened in our relationship with Christ throughout 2025. Let us be real. Let us be honest. Let us be humble before God and before one another. Because let me tell you this, this church is being watched. You might not think it, but people out here are watching you as individuals. They're watching when you come in. Some of them will be hiding behind curtains saying, oh, look, there are them Christians going to that church again. Let me tell you, there will be people like that. You're being watched. Keep smiling even though it's tough. Keep rejoicing even though your circumstances are saying the opposite. Keep rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. I really do believe that God gave me, and I just want to finish by saying this, a message for this church for 2025. And it's based on Genesis 16. As you know, Abraham and Sarah wanted an heir. Yeah? And obviously, they were quite old in age. And they were crying out to God. But as you know, they weren't succeeding. Sarah was barren. And so she encouraged Abraham to take Hagar and to sleep with her. And as a result, we know that Ishmael was born. 16 years later, God's promise was fulfilled. And Isaac was born, the promised son. I really do believe that God is saying, do not try things in your own strength. Don't try to create a miracle. Let God do it. Abraham refused to endure. He refused to persevere. if he'd have waited another 16 years, they'd have got the child. But he refused. But he learned his lesson. That's another word I'll bring later on this year. He learned his lesson. Don't try building an empire. Don't try building something that's of the flesh or a good idea. Build something that's a God idea that's come from the throne of God. The church at Philippi produced fruit. It went on to be a prosperous church. Solely because Paul was obedient to the Holy Spirit. He wanted to go that way in Acts 16. Read Acts 16. It's incredible. He wanted to go that way, but God sent him that way. God's Spirit is speaking to this church, and I believe that as the weeks and the months go on, you are going to see change. I really do believe that word that Alex brought this morning was in conjunction with what I brought today. God is doing something new. Forget what lies behind and move on to what lies ahead. And also, don't worry about it. What did Jesus say? Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about. There you go, there's another lesson. Forget the past, but don't worry about tomorrow. So what's that saying? Enjoy today, hallelujah. Enjoy today. Whatever God's going to do with you this afternoon, enjoy it. Don't worry about tomorrow, next week, or, you know, God takes care of all that. God is a good God. He's setting you up for a challenging. Yes, they'll be good. There'll also be challenges. But 2025, that's a reality, guys. We're living in a fallen world. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the months to come? God does. God does. But he promises you peace. He promises you security. And he promises you, most of all, hope. Hope in his Son, Jesus. Let's pray.